Hello, is this Mr.
Hi, Janice, this is me again.
Oh, I just tried to call you back. I don't know what happened. It just went dead.
Yeah, I know. That's what just happened. But anyway, we're back together. Maybe I won't come on anymore. I don't know.
Okay. Well, can
okay,
I ask you...
finish and start your questions.
Okay. Let's see. So, you mentioned that you saw Bob Hope and some other famous people when you were playing.
Absolutely. We did many times. Even when we came back to the States, we arrived here from 43. We were here from 44 into June of 45. And we entertained people with the big stars. What did they call it? USO.
Uh-huh.
Because that was our job.
Uh-huh. Yep, that was your...
so we met all these people. We were the first ones to introduce them.
Where were you in 44 and 45? Did you go back to Tacoma?
We were at Fort Lewis from December the 2nd or so to that, and then we went to Camp Hood, Texas.
Okay.
We went to Camp Hood, Texas, and the band was now called the 214th Ground Forces, 214th Ground Forces.
Okay.
That's what we went from the 4th Infantry to the 214th Ground Forces.
Okay.
I don't know what happened to the 4th Infantry.
Okay. So what were the most interesting audiences or places that you played?
Oh, one was good. We were asked to come and parade and play for a big game of two Texas colleges, Texas State and Texas something, whatever. Now, the stadium was full. Now, this was in 44, yeah, in that area. And the stadium was full. And we paraded down the parade, then we went up and sat with the audience. And they had special seats for us. And we would sit with all these Texans. Well, then they would have the college bands get out also, and they would start playing their Texas national anthem. Well, our band members, we didn't know what the hell Texas was. We didn't stand up, but everybody else did. We almost got thrown out of the Cotton Picket Stadium. So this is what we would do. We'd go to these big events, and we would play. We would parade and all that kind of stuff.
So you traveled around like that until the end of the war?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was it. Not only would they'd fly us there most of the time, they would, because there weren't very many bands in the services at that time, and they would fly us to other fields, and we would get out and play, and the big deal was that we would play for an hour while all the soldiers that were coming into Camp Hood to learn how to fight, we would, there'd be 400 or 500 soldiers coming in to Camp Hood to train, and we would parade them in. We would get down and pick them up at the train, take them into Camp Hood. Then the next day, we would play a parade for them while they were introduced to the general.
Wow, that's quite a welcome.
Oh, yeah, it was great. We would really play for them. And I had more fun in all my life. Then they wonder how I come still play a trumpet.
I bet the guys loved that, didn't they?
Oh yes, they loved it. Strutted like you didn't believe it. And then this one time, instead of just playing the march, our band leader got up, which is Warrant Officer Ernest B. Gentile. He would get up and we would jazz it. Instead of the regular march tune.
he made it more fun and lively.
Right. It really just made them really proud and swing their shoulders and march like a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was what we did. We did that for 2 years.
So you didn't play every day, though. So what did you do when you weren't playing?
my dear girl, we'd get up in the morning. We would get dressed, we'd go have breakfast, and we'd come back to our barracks, and we would have an hour of practice. Then we'd have 2 hours of rehearsal. Then we would go have lunch. Then we would come back. The dance band would rehearse, and the guys would individually rehearse. Then the whole band would rehearse again, and then we'd go out and play reveille, or not reveille, but retire the flag. We did that every day.
Oh, so you did have daily chores that kept you pretty busy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So they didn't train band members to be like gunners
or...
No,
they didn't train us to be warriors, no.
No.
They trained us to entertain the warriors.
But wasn't it a little unfair then for them to put you in the Signal Corps where you were kind of in the line of fire, but you weren't really trained to defend yourself?
We were able, no matter where you were on that island, you was in danger, but they didn't want the firing soldier, the frontline soldier, to be that duty that he didn't have to do. They needed him on the front lines, so they put us in his place and sent him on the front lines.
Right.
So that was our duty, and we did it with all our hearts and soul.
Well, do you remember...
But we did carry a rifle and a pistol.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely. We had those old 45s and those rifles all the time.
So,
and we knew how to use them.
Okay, so you weren't completely defenseless.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No way. The only thing, we weren't sent to the front line.
Okay. Well, that seems fair.
Yeah, well, we were there to protect ourselves, and that was it.
Do you remember what kind of messages you conveyed between the different groups?
No, because they were all sealed.
Oh, okay, so you just took an envelope, or it wasn't a verbal thing or anything you really knew what
that
was...
That is correct. We had no information. But they needed this information to get the Company A to Company G over to Company C or back over to the... whoever they needed to get it to.
So did you
have... We had to travel within all this range up Massacre Valley.
So there must have been pretty good communication for you to know where Company A or Company G were, right?
Absolutely. We had to know where everything was.
Right. Right.
That was before anything was settled. See, we were still there. There was nothing on the island but our soldiers.
Right. And did you know much about how the war was going or...
No,
you just did what you were told and didn't really know.
That is exactly it. We did not have any specific information like as if Company A is over on Mountain Hoo-Hoo and Company G is on Hoo. They just run into 50 soldiers. No, we didn't know anything like that.
Okay.
We just said, deliver this to Company A. We took it. Company A said, okay, take this over to CD Company. So we just did that in that aspect. But then we did take care of the soldiers when they came back wounded.
Okay, so if there was somebody wounded or passed away, then you littered them out?
Yes. Yes. We put them on the ships. In fact, when we put them back there, some of the other soldiers would bring souvenirs that want to sell to the Navy personnel. So, you know, like sabers or a helmet or any Japanese that could remember the war.
Oh, okay.
I brought a Japanese helmet home, and I used it as an ashtray in my backyard. And my late wife, she said, honey, you better get rid of that because we had a Japanese banker move next door to us that came in to be a banker.
Oh.
I said, he wouldn't even know what a Japanese helmet looked like.
So
another question, my dear.
Okay. What do you remember about the Aleutians? What was your impressions when you got there?
When we got there, I said, all we could see was snow, you know, on the rocks, on the island. And then, now you should see in that web page of mine of the big 4-foot hole we dug to put up 10 in, one of them, and and it was in the summer, and that's the way it was. So, yeah, that's all we did.
So, did you have days off when you were in the Aleutians? And if you did, what did you do?
We never had any days off. We just did our every duty, every day. Get up, and when we weren't playing, we would have duty to clean up our yard or just walk around the island and, you know, just things like that. When we weren't working on Shemya, we were on the high end. In fact, one of those pictures, you can see us digging our hole, but you look on the top part, you can see a 50 caliber machine gun sitting there. But we would go entertain people, and then we'd come back and be there. That's all. We just sit there.
So they kept you pretty busy. You didn't have to worry too much about what to do.
Oh, no, no. No way did we have that. We always had something to do.
So were the guys pretty happy with their band and situation, and that kept their morale up, or did some of them really dislike where they were stationed?
They were fabulous with us. They just, oh, my God, we're home. How beautiful is play. And we entertained them. And, you know, when you get an entertainment, you enjoy things.
Right, right.
And, of course, we made it worthwhile for them. Really, we did. And they always supported us when we went out and played for the civilian engineers. My God, they would put money in our pockets.
That's great.
And say thanks, you know.
Did the guys in the band, you said they pretty much stayed in their positions. Did you keep in touch with those guys over the years?
Up until about 5 years after we left one another in June of 45. I kept my track of them. There was about four of them here in California. And one of them, Curtis Harrington, was a sax player. He was in San Bernardino, and he worked for a mortician. And he passed away, but they're all gone now. And Shell, my fellow trumpet player, he lost him. But everything has changed, and they're all gone now but me. Mm. I don't know why.
It seems like you're doing pretty good, though.
Oh, I'm having a hell of a good time.
That's great. See, that's what keeps you going, right?
Well, it does. Everybody is so happy with me and all that. And my wife is just signaling to me now that we've got 11 o'clock. We've got to go to our senior center over there and talk to a lady. I'm an electrical sign contractor, and I'm going to help the senior center do something with the building. And she's a sewer. She used to be in charge of the so-and-so for 35 years. We were just active all along.
Well, that's great. What kind of stuff does your wife sew?
She lap robes.
Oh, nice.
Now, hey, I'll send you a picture of some of them. They're beautiful.
I'd love to see them.
Absolutely beautiful.
I'm a sewer, too.
And we'll be in touch with you, so.
Okay. Hey,
do you have any more questions?
Well, you know, I've got hundreds of questions, but I think you did a good job in telling your story, so I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
Oh, you don't know how much I appreciate you asking me.
Well, you know what I'm going to do next is I'm going to have this transcribed, and I'll send you a copy of it, and we can take a look at it. And if there's any questions or clarifications, is it okay if I give you a call back?
Absolutely. You can call me anytime, and I'm here to do it, because this is the one thing that is important in my life, is this part.
Okay. Well, great. I appreciate your time today.
Well, you just give... Oh, incidentally, as far as Alaska, I left there then, but my sister married a guy that came from Alaska down to California, and they met, and they got married, and they went back up to Anchorage, and they were there when they had the big earthquake.
Oh, boy. We just celebrated an anniversary of that quake.
I'll be damned. The 66, wasn't it?
64.
Well, anyway, in 75 or 77, our mother passed away, so she came down, and they did. And so me and my wife went back to Anchorage, and we went to Anchorage back there in 77, and I went and rented a plane with a pilot. I went flying, and we went fishing, and he was doing it, and he helped put up the oil line.
Oh, my gosh.
I got a lot of stories to tell you about that and pictures.
Oh, boy.
Sounds... And I got more stories about that one, of his, he and his fishing.
Oh, I bet fishing was good back then.
Yeah, well, I got a cute story I want to tell you the next time you call about he and his fishing boat that ran out of diesel.
Oh, boy.
That is a story. It's real good.
Okay.
Call me. I want to keep in touch with you, and I'll call you.
Okay, that sounds good. I'd like to stay in touch.
Absolutely. God bless.
All right, you have a good day today.
I'm going to do it. You do the same, and I'm looking forward to more talking.
I'll talk to you soon.
God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.